I'm Lynn Ware Peake, and now joining me in the studio, I have Park City Mayor Jack Thomas and City Manager Diane Foster. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in so early. And so, Mayor Thomas, your statement that was sent out last night, you talk about being hopeful that both sides, meaning Vail, Talisker, and Park City Mountain Resort, continue to move forward in a manner that you're putting the community and what the community and its residents have at stake here, as well as their own interests. So,
as well as the employees of the resort. And, I think it's logical. I mean, it would be bad business for them, for each of them, for their own interests, not to resolve this. And so I think it's just a matter of time, and I think they will get to the conference table, and I think that they will work out this deal.
Well, some would say that as of yesterday was really the time that now the rubber meets the road and negotiations will start at this point. It probably was not a surprise to anyone, but it does solidify sort of the going forward point. What would you say about that, Diane?
I would say I think you're correct. And, as both Vail and Park City Mountain Resort have publicly expressed an interest in making sure that the community is at the forefront and that they are paying attention to the needs of the community, the needs of the employees, and the resort operations itself.
When Park City Municipal was involved in a development agreement with Park City Mountain Resort and Talisker, when the development rights, the transfer of density were transferred over to the Montage area so that could take place, there was one clause in that agreement that talked about having a contiguous resort from the base all the way up. Is there any bearing that has?
That was a part of the Flagstaff MPD, and it did talk about the importance of a contiguous resort. I think as far as the technical details, Mark Harrington, the city attorney, has done an affidavit on that and provided that to the court. So I think that's a legal question that's a little bit beyond my technical expertise, so I won't wade into that one. But I think Mark Harrington would be a good one to answer that.
Mayor Thomas, do we need a contiguous resort?
In the evolution and the permutations of new resorts, I can't answer that. I mean, there are a lot of possibilities.
We have heard a rumor here that just like the gondola, the proposed potential in the future gondola from the transit center up to Silver Lake, Vail has approached possibly the city, this is all rumor, about a gondola from the transit center up to its lands, Talisker lands, on Park City Mountain Resort, bypassing the Park City Mountain Resort base area.
I love rumors. That's a cool idea. The reality is the city has not been approached with any proposal or any lift alignment or anything else of that matter from either party.
Okay. And the same with the town lift area. If Park City Mountain Resort were to remove the town lift from the town lift plaza, any chance there of a lift being run up?
We have heard no discussions or plans or seen any plans with regard to anything like that.
Okay.
And that property is owned by the Sweeney brothers, Ed, Mike, and Pat Sweeney. And so that's a question for them. And I believe they have agreements with Park City Mountain Resort. And I believe that the Mountain Resort owns property on either side of that.
Again, there were rumors about a Vail Resort base at the Treasure Project, which is also a little interesting considering the given parking issues we have in this section of town already. But Ed Sweeney denied that when we gave him a call.
Yeah, and I think at this point in the game, it's really important. This is the point at which rumors are going to be starting, right? Because everyone's thinking, well, what could happen and what might happen? And we'd encourage all of those in the community to sit tight. The reality of the situation is this lawsuit's gone on for more than 2 years now, and Park City Mountain Resort, and the community has just finished one of its best ski seasons ever. So right. we'd encourage everyone to just kind of hang tight, let the legal process run its course, and don't freak out.
It's a little hard not to do that, right?
It is. But it is difficult. I mean, you know, it does raise concern in the community, and it's something that we have thought about and started planning for last year. And we're optimistic, and, you know, we will watch things carefully, and we will adjust accordingly in the future with regard to our budgets and the rest of the process. But, you know, it doesn't make any sense for them not to get this resolved and worked out,
right.
just from the business perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And they have over and over conveyed that they're concerned about the community and the employees and continuing the resort operations. So I think it's going to work out.
The contingency plans that you've had in your budget, you've talked about some of those publicly already, but how about, you know, you've been pretty active in talks with Park City Mountain Resort about the public-private partnership of the parking structure and new transit
right.
center. It all ties into the Lower Park Avenue RDA and redevelopment there. With yesterday's ruling, is your involvement or the speed at which you get involved with that going to change at all?
Well, I don't believe the speed will change. I mean, it's an application before the city. It's on Park City Mountain Resort's property. It's their Woodward project, which is a great summertime economic generator. It's a great idea for the community, and I think we will move forward and have no interest in dragging our feet on that, and we may, in fact, see an acceleration on that. So can't speak for the applicant, which is partially the city and also PCMR, but I think it's going to go forward, and it's in the best interest of the community.
The mayor makes a good point. There are kind of two things that the community is probably looking at with regard to both Park City Mountain Resort and the city, and that's one is the Woodward piece, and the mayor's just answered that question. And the second one is the transit center, which last week at City Council, it's a transit center and parking garage combined. We tend at the city where more than 50% of our bus trips go through Park City Mountain Resort. We tend to focus a lot on the transit center because of the importance of circulation in that area. And staff got specific direction from City Council to move forward, and they did that knowing full well that there would probably be at some point some answers in the lawsuit. There are many, many, many steps in that before it would go vertical. And so the City Council will obviously throughout the process have go and no-go points. Right now they've said go. We have a lot of planning that we need to do regardless of who a future operator may be. And that includes intersection improvements, because the parking garage and transit center is not simply something that is limited to Park City Mountain Resort. It actually has impacts throughout the community, throughout Bonanza Park, throughout Lower Park Avenue, and the community as a whole. So we'll be moving forward on that. And initially, our next steps are specifically working on intersection and circulation plans.
Okay, so you must feel pretty secure that base area is going to remain vibrant, that it's not going to be abandoned for some other new base area that the configuration of which is yet to be determined, now only determined by rumor.
Or
you wouldn't see the need for such an elaborate transit center and parking structure.
Right, right. I mean, physically, it's the logical place. It has been for over 50 years, and it's likely to continue to be that prominent space because of where it's situated on the mountain.
Okay.
And as well as the community. So
I wanted to ask you about water rights. A lot of this speculation about water rights has come up, saying that, well, Talisker may own the land, but PCMR has the water rights. Does Park City Mountain Resort, for its snowmaking currently all over the hill, do they have their own water? Do they buy water from Park City?
The specifics of their water rights is a good question for them, but I can tell you that Thiriet Springs is one of the water sources that Park City Mountain Resort uses in the winter for snowmaking, and they have the rights. And then that has just transferred over to the city. We use that Thiriet Springs in the summer. So it is my understanding, and if there's a good Business Week article about the whole situation that was done a few months back, and that talked about the water rights as well. If you it's my understanding that Park City Mountain Resort does own significant water rights, and that they basically own most of the water rights for their snowmaking. And so that will be a piece. And it's one of those reasons why, you know, the city isn't making any radical moves, and we don't expect this to be resolved tomorrow. There are a number of, you know, if you look at just the fact that Park City Mountain Resort owns the base area. So as the mayor said early on, these parties at some point are going to have to sit down and resolve the situation, and it's not something we expect to happen in the next 30 days or few months. And
exactly. I think Park City Mountain Resort has expressed their interest in appealing this decision, and that takes time in the state of Utah. So we could be looking at another year or longer to see resolution in this. And I'm optimistic that they will really go back to the tables, you know, away from their lawyers and start talking sense to each other.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the water rights situation is the bigger card that Park City Mountain Resort has at this point?
You know, I think there are a lot of variables that are out there that range from ownership of the base area to water rights. I think there are a number of things that fall into that category.
Yeah, I think they're both key issues, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And have you heard from businesses at the base, stakeholder, property owners, business owners there, in terms of any, I don't know, contingency plans for them, any way that the city can help them out if indeed it goes quiet for a year or more?
We haven't been contacted by any prom owners specifically, and the pieces that I've heard are the pieces that have either been on KPCW or in the Park Record.
Okay.
Right, same here.
Okay.
Surprisingly, there's very little discussion in the public.
Anything else that you wanted to add to this?
No, but thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, thanks, Lynn. And, you know, onward it goes. I mean, we're not over. You know, this is what it looks like, I guess, when it's working. And it will get to resolution.
Right. Wanted to ask you quickly, Diane, maybe this is a question for you. What's going on with the Kimball Arts Center application? It seems as though it's been put on hold for the remodel there. The application went back into the planning staff. What's going on with that?
It's actually quite a normal process, which is happening. The applicants have a 45-day decision. However, it is quite normal that when an applicant submits something and the planning department has questions, or they find that there are pieces of the application that are missing, then the planning staff puts that 45 days on hold, allows the applicant to resubmit, to make changes, to add additional documents. And so what we're seeing is just a very normal planning process.
Okay. And finally, you've talked to me several times about Police Academy or Citizens Academy. You're doing this. This is something that comes up once a year. It's so the police department can involve regular citizens just to see what they can do, or...
So the police department offers a fabulous program, and it's an 11-week program on Wednesday nights. It's 3 to 4 hours every Wednesday night, and it's offered up to anyone in the community, including residents of Snyderville Basin. There are some that are in Snyderville Basin that are participating in this year's program. There are about 20 people in the class, and it's run by Officer Terry Knechtel, although there are presentations. Last night we heard from Officers Jim Rodriguez and Officers Michael Contreras about various topics that range from last week, Officer Marty Howard talked about traffic enforcement, and we also heard from the head of dispatch, Maggie Peterson, about what those challenges are. So it's a fabulous course, and next week we're going to see Officer Terry Knechtel get attacked by a police dog. He'll be in full suit, but it's quite interesting, and it's really a good insight into what are police officers, the challenges that they face, and also just the incredible variety of their job and the amazing work that they do for our community.
You can't get that at CrossFit.
Do you get that opportunity as well, Diane?
I do not get the opportunity to be attacked by a police dog.
You just get to do the push-ups.
Yeah, and you know what? They haven't offered me the taser opportunity either, and I'm okay with that.
Okay, Mayor Thomas, it's you next year.
Oh, yeah, sure.
No. All right, Diane, Mayor, thanks for coming in.